Hey everyone, it's Michelle.
And Brayden.
And this is Spooky Shit. So this week we are going to be talking about some body snatchers. I'm going to start out by talking about Carl Tanzler.
And then I'm going to talk about Anatoly Moskvin. He's
Italy?
Russian.
Oh.
Russian.
No. Wrong.
Warning. This episode may contain graphic details. Listener discretion is advised.
All right.
I just want to, before we even start, I'm probably going to butcher a lot of these Russian terms.
Oh, no. I'm already very pumped for this.
I mean, I don't know Russian, so.
Wait, what? You don't know Russian? Who doesn't know Russian? Maybe I should have chosen that one. No, I think I might have seen a little bit of his stuff, but I was reading some names and I was like, I don't know, bro. I don't know about this story. If I just choose the German dude instead. Yeah, that'll be a fun one to hear. But before we get into our stories, how have you been?
I've been good.
I swear your voice sounds deeper.
I guess it does. I love it. I actually, Alaris scared the shit out of me the other day because she was looking at my face and she was like, oh my god, because I have a little chin hair.
You have a beard?
Not even close. It's literally just one chin hair.
Are you going to let it grow out?
No, I'm going to shave.
A little tail. Oh, you're going to shave? Ooh. Yeah.
Well, not until, there's more. It's literally just one chin hair.
It's still and exciting to say you have to shave your face, though.
True. But I was telling Alaris I want to try this, I think it's called moxicillin. It's some kind of, hair regrowth, thing.
Oh, cool.
And I've seen a lot of videos of, trans men who use it. And I've even seen some of trans men that use it before starting testosterone and they have full beards by the time they start testosterone.
What? Yo, you should totally try that.
I know, I want to. I just need to go buy it.
Sick. Yes, buy that. That's gonna be so cool.
Yeah. And then also I got good news.
Oh,
they are keeping me at Costco.
Hey, congrats. GZ.
thank you.
I didn't know this. I'm not faking my reaction.
It was actually really scary because I was busy working and all of a sudden they were looking for me. Because I was actually in the bathroom, in the back room, and all the supervisors and managers have walkie-talkies, but only them. And I was in the bathroom in the back room. I like using that one because it's gender neutral.
Yeah.
And I feel safer. But so yeah, I heard there was someone outside and then they had a walkie-talkie and I heard my name over the radio.
I would have a panic attack if I heard
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was oh shit. I was oh, is Brayden still here, whatever, and then I could hear another person answering yeah, they're still here, and then I was oh my god.
I would have never out of the bathroom.
Yeah. I got out of the bathroom and they were they're looking for you, and I was I know, I heard. And then
why do they have to make it sound so scary?
Right?
But it's a good thing.
No, I was scared. I was literally fuck, dude.
What did you do?
Something wrong? Yeah. And then I met up with the other supervisor and she was oh, go to the front and meet up with this person. And I was
why did none of them tell you? It's a good thing at least. They all just send you on your way anxiously.
Well, because I think they didn't know low-key or I don't know.
Oh, they thought you were in trouble too.
Maybe.
I can't believe you've done this.
But yeah, and then I went up to the office and went to the dude, and then basically they were we've heard really good things about you and basically if you want to stay, we like to keep you. And I was yes.
Hell yeah. Costco's such a good job. Yeah. I say this every time you talk about it. Everyone hypes up Costco and its benefits are sick.
Yeah.
Yay.
So that was some really good news. I was fuck yeah.
Do you get to change your hours though?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Well, They were actually trying to schedule me for like night shifts, but like I'm literally at school.
Yeah, so you cannot do that.
So I was like, hello? And they were like, oh, we need proof of your schedule and stuff. So I had to like reach out to like student services. Yeah, they were like, do you have your class schedule? And I was like, no, we don't really have like a class schedule. I was like, it's literally just Monday through Friday, 5 to 10. And then they were like, oh, well, you need to like print a copy. So I literally reached out to like student services and they like made this whole ass like basically a
official document for you. Yeah, your schedule,
a verification letter. And they just like had my name, my student ID number. Uh-huh. And they were like, this student or like is attending school from Monday to Friday, 5 to 10 p.m.
Why does this sound like a parent's note in middle school?
It was kind of like that.
That's really funny.
But yeah, so they haven't like updated my schedule yet, so mm-hmm. we'll see. But I know they prefer like new hires in the PM shifts because like AM shifts are mostly like reserved for like people with seniority.
Oh, like because it's people like it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, hopefully they change it soon. I can't believe they had you prove that you're in school. How weird. Right? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
So odd.
But I was like, whatever.
Yeah. At least you weren't lying. That would have been awkward.
Yeah, right?
Did you have a good Christmas?
Oh, yeah, I did.
That whole thing. I gave your presents to Leah and Jesus, and then they got COVID. So your presents... Yeah. Are in quarantine right now.
Yep.
It would have been better off if I just went and like dropped them off to you when I was in Escondido at that point.
Yeah, you should have.
I should have. I don't know.
Or I could have met up with you.
I know. I was talking to Leah and I was like, well, when's the next time you're going to see him? And she was like, oh, probably in just a couple of days. And I was like, oh, this is easy. And then she texts us the next day, oh, we have COVID. I'm like, motherfucker. Yeah. Now I don't want to even go near you. Like, she's going to have to sanitize the boxes of the gifts.
For real. But yeah, it was good. It kind of sucked because, like, financially...
It was good, but it kind of sucked.
No, okay. It was a really good time.
Okay.
But the only thing that sucked was just because financially we were struggling because I didn't have a job. And, like, my first check just, like, literally came through on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah. That is so annoying.
I wasn't able to, like, buy Christmas presents for anybody.
Aw.
So that kind of sucked because, like, we love, like, giving gifts.
It's really fun. I love giving gifts too. That's why I did it, even though I'm broke. I shouldn't have, but I took money out of my savings. I'm not gonna lie.
Damn.
It's okay.
We literally like couldn't afford it, so we didn't. But we're planning to give good birthday gifts, or I think we even said just late, like
New a late Year Christmas gifts or something. Thing. Yeah. Oh, cute.
Because we still want to get certain people something still.
Yeah. Especially like younger kids, I'm sure, probably.
Yeah, my siblings, Jesus, Leah, you. But yeah, other than that, it was a really good time. It was fun.
Nice, I'm glad.
I was really tired though.
Were you living it up? Were you drinking?
I was not drinking. I drove.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I was like super tired. I don't remember what time I got off work, but I only slept, I think, like 3 hours, and then got ready, and then
you
basically
worked the night before.
I did work the night before.
Oh my god.
Actually, I think I went in at 1 a.m
Jesus Christ.
And then yikes. Yeah, I got home, I ate, like took a nap for 3 hours, got up, got ready, and then basically stayed up until I don't remember, but it was pretty late.
Jesus, you shouldn't have even drove. You're probably just as bad as the drunk people.
You know what? I really was tired. Yeah.
At that point, you guys should have been like, all right, someone else has to stay sober because you're a little out of it, I'm sure.
I literally like was like trying not to fall asleep on the couch, and then
oh my gosh,
Alaris's family like made me get up and dance and like do stuff
to wake up.
Yeah, or just because, like, they wanted me to be involved, but I was like, no.
You're like, can I just go into your room and take a nap real quick?
Right. But it was fun.
Good.
How was your Christmas?
It was good. Me and Robert each got each other a RuneScape gift, which was kind of funny. So I got him this like LED light that you can kind of see right there. It's not on. So in RuneScape, they have like prayers, and they're called overhead prayers. And I got the mage symbol, so it protects you from magic. It sounds so fucking nerdy that I'm saying it out loud. It protects you from the magic spells. But it's just cool. It kind of looks like a like comet or something, and it just like lights up. It's very similar to like neon signs at like fast food places and stuff, but it's not the same material. He said he would have preferred the melee one, which would have been a sword because it's more obvious what it is. And I didn't even consider that because I was like, this is too obvious. So now I know. And he got me these little mole slippers. They're literally slippers that have a mole's face on the end that are like in the game too. And they're great. They ship from like the Ukraine. And I love them so much.
Those are cool.
They're the funniest things ever. So it was a lot of fun in the morning here. And then we went to my sister's. And then obviously I found out later one of my sisters had COVID. So I'm kind of in quarantine. It's been like 6 days and I don't feel any symptoms. So I think I'm fine. One of my other sisters was able to do like a rapid test and she didn't have it. So I think I'm good. Still going to get tested next week anyway, just in case. But I don't think I have it. But yeah, that put a little bit of a damper on the day, but it was mostly fun. And yeah, I just played like games with my nieces and stuff. And I got some cool art because I requested art. Oh, and I got a gift card for a tattoo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but now I'm like really broke. So I'm like, cool, I have $50 worth of tattoo, but I can't really pay for the rest of it. So I'm going to hold on to this for a little bit.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was that was a thing.
Yeah, no, it's sick because I was like, it's not a whole tattoo, but it'll make a dent. So that's that's all I need. It's like a down payment, basically.
That's cool.
So I'm holding on to this for whenever I could get my elbow done, which I feel like will probably be like $250. So that's going to be in a little bit. And yeah, Christmas was nice. Christmas was fun. And then other than that, I've just been like streaming a lot too. And the streams have been going well. Our average viewer now is 7, which is nice. We have to be 75 to become partners, so we just have to like multiply this by 10 real quick. But still,
that's still pretty good though.
I know, that's like 7 people on average choose to just watch me talk shit and play this game badly for hours. So it's amazing.
That's good though. It's progress.
Yeah. And Robert streamed last night because my laptop exploded. That's what I most wanted to talk about today. So Robert gave me his laptop earlier this year. He bought this laptop in May. So it's 7 months old. It's a nice laptop. It was like $2,000. And it had been looking like weirdly big on one side. And we thought I just broke something about it. And he was like low-key annoyed that I broke it. And then we were recording Boonbait, my other podcast, yesterday, and it just suddenly burst open. Like, the battery inside of it, like, actually, like, exploded and broke the frame. There was, like, a screw holding it together and everything, and the screw just, like, came off and it burst. It made a noise like popcorn. It was so weird, and also definitely a safety hazard. So, I'm using like my old laptop now, which is not fast at all. I definitely couldn't stream with this. Like, even just playing RuneScape, not streaming, it's like super laggy and weird.
Damn.
So I had to buy a gaming computer, not a laptop. It's going to be my first ever like actual gaming computer. So I had to take money on my savings again.
Damn.
So that's unfortunate.
Yep. But it's an investment.
It is an investment. Oh my God, Boonbait better take off now. And we're actually gonna go pick it up once we're all done recording.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we have to drive actually, a bit, but...
actually for Christmas me and Laris agreed not to give like gifts to each other, well, because I mean, we technically couldn't, but like
you didn't have a choice, but yeah, you but still like, said it.
We still said it and agreed, and we actually got a new TV like for ourselves.
Oh, sick. Nice. Yeah. And okay, so that's nice. Basically your guys' gift to each other.
Yeah, basically.
Are you looking at it right now?
Yeah.
I see your eyes are looking up and I'm like, is there a TV?
It's bigger and better.
Sick. And it's right next to your bed, so you can just watch it while laying down.
Yeah, it's literally right in front of our bed.
Oh my gosh, the layout of my bedroom doesn't let us do that. We have to keep it on the side. And I'm so jealous of people like you. I'm like, oh, I just want to lay in bed and watch TV without having to lay weird.
You can't like rotate your bed.
No, I don't think so. Damn. I don't think it's wide enough. We kind of have like a bigger room, but I feel like it's long and not the most wide, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ours is like pretty square, so we can like put it
wherever. Yeah. That's sick. I'm glad that you're able to get a new TV.
Me too. We had been talking about it, and then we realized that they're pretty, like, not that expensive. Mm-hmm. And we were like, fuck it, let's do it.
But it's not a Christmas present. Wink, wink.
Yeah. It's a present.
Did you get from Costco? Yeah.
No. Got it from Best Buy, because I have a credit card.
Nice. Oh, you have a Best Buy credit card?
Yeah.
What a random flex.
I got it for when I got my laptop.
Oh, you did? Really?
Mm-hmm.
How funny. I was like, do you go to Best Buy all the time?
I mean, I literally, no. I literally like had the cash to pay for my laptop.
Yeah.
But then they were like, oh, you can apply for the credit card and like, it'll be like 18 months, like free interest or whatever. Interest free.
They upselled you. Sold you.
Yeah, basically. Upsold me. And then, yeah, I got approved for $2,000, which was right under, like, what it cost.
Oh, nice.
And so I was like, fuck it. And yeah. And then, basically, I haven't used it since I got my laptop. And
that's hilarious.
I basically paid off a good chunk, like half, more than half.
And then, you get paid off slowly rather than all at once now.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I had, like, more than half paid off. And then my mom, my brother, like, basically the only thing he wanted was a new TV too. And so my mom like asked me to buy it, and then she just gave me cash, so I did. And then yeah, while I was there, I like getting his present.
Uh-huh.
I was like these aren't bad. I was like, I probably won't gonna get one myself.
You're like, and one for Brayden too.
One for me and one for you.
That's hilarious.
My sister just opened the door because, everyone's here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Everyone.
But my family and then some of my tia and my cousins from Arizona are here too, so.
Oh my gosh. Okay, should I get to my story? Didn't tell everyone. It's New Year's Eve today.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year's! We were supposed to record yesterday, but like I said, my laptop exploded, so that was kind of a stressful few hours.
Yeah, it's all good, though. Actually, Alaris is in here, too.
Oh, hi, Alaris.
Well, she can't hear you, but...
Damn, you're not even going to tell her I said hi? Alaris. She can't hear you.
Maybe. Michelle said hi.
Thank you.
She said hi.
She said, fuck you, Michelle.
She did. Also, Dante's in here. He's snoozing.
Oh, my God, there's a dog in the room? Yeah. And took you 20 minutes to tell me?
I'm sorry.
That's hurtful. Now I feel immediately happier and better about this recording. He's like blessing us.
Oh, before I forget, I'm going to have it. I'm going to say it so we can go back to this. But Alara said she agreed to be a guest.
No way. She did?
Right? Right, baby? Oh, now she's saying no. She got shy.
I'm like, now sounds really quiet back there.
I literally asked you before we recorded, and you said, yeah, I'm down.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. So you're going to be our guest?
So you're going to be our guest?
No.
She's practicing. Wow. See, she's getting into it. She's like comfortable in front of the mic now. I still need to convince Robert. We'll see about that one.
Yeah, I was like telling her, I was like, why you like get shy? I was like, no one's gonna see you. And she was like, yeah, so.
We could even turn off the camera if she's more comfortable with that.
Oh, you see that, babe? She said we could turn off the camera if that's more comfortable. It'll just be like
a weird phone call. It's not, but
thank you. She said it's not, but thank you.
We'll get her someday. Valentine's Day, we need to have a couples episode, a double date podcast.
See, bae, for Valentine's Day.
Yep. Four of us. Okay.
She said okay.
Okay, I'll convince Robert once we're all done. They don't even have to research. We can just share. We'll share ghost stories so we won't freak them out too much. They can just be there for commentary.
Or we should make it lovey-dovey and just talk about how we, like, met in our, like, first date and stuff.
Oh, we could do a mini, like, Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah.
That'd be cute. Okay, down.
We'll have them tell the story.
Oh, God, from their perspectives?
Yeah.
Robert's gonna be like, I was a home wrecker. She was in a relationship.
The end.
The end.
I feel like that's totally how he would say it.
Yeah, no. Robert's not... He can be talkative, but I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't be on the podcast. Maybe weird. Yeah. That'd be so funny.
So why? So he's okay doing Boon Babe, but not being a guest on ours?
He doesn't like scary things.
But we don't have to talk about scary things.
And I'll tell him that. And yesterday, because I told you he streamed, he was getting so hyped up by everyone watching. This one guy was like, oh, I'm not gay, but like, you're really attractive and you're really fun to watch and you're so good at talking. And I was like, damn. And Robert was like, I actually get that a lot. And I was like, oh, okay.
Damn.
I know. And there, I guess that there's a gay guy in the chat too. And he was like, I agree. And I was like, oh, okay. Robert's a hit. But yeah, after yesterday, his ego's so big, I might be able to convince him to do it.
Nice.
But let's do it. It's kind of a little backhanded at me. This one guy, he watched me stream the night before. And then he was like, hyping up Robert so much. He's like, yeah, you should just make your own Twitch and blow up. And I was like, don't tell him to leave our channel. Just tell him to stream more. Jesus.
Yeah, true.
I'm like, please don't abandon me. Just stream more.
What's your plan for today? Oh, Animal Crossing.
That sounded like you were making fun of me the way you said
it. No,
I
didn't
mean... What's your plan today? Oh, Animal Crossing.
No, I just mean because you had literally like said that in the beginning.
No, it is Animal Crossing.
That's cool. Good.
Thanks for making me admit it out loud. Whenever we first got on this little call, I was like, oh, hold on a second. I have to grab my 2022 celebration, she says.
Celebration.
My celebration arch. So whenever I celebrate Animal Crossing tonight, it feels festive. That was like the first thing I said to you today.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna do real life things?
Yes, I'm gonna go over to my tia's house because she made food.
Dang.
And then I think we're just gonna come back here and chill.
Oh, you're just gonna go get food and then come back home?
My mom was like, I don't want to make it super obvious that we're going just to eat, but we're going just
to
eat.
I'm like, is this just like a drive-by thing? You're like, all right, just bring it out. Like, it's a jack-in-the-box.
No, I mean, we'll probably hang out there for a bit. And
they get a good 20 minutes of hangout time before you leave. As long as it takes to eat your food and digest a little bit.
But that's basically it.
Hopefully your tia doesn't listen to the podcast. She's going to be like, what the fuck?
Nah, she doesn't. Okay. I think I only know a few people that actually like listen to it.
I know a few too, but not anyone that I talk about, really. Well, obviously, I'm not going to talk shit about somebody who listens to the podcast.
True. But I mean, I've know a few people that have heard episodes, but they're like behind.
Yeah.
I think the only one that I know of that has told me that they actually listened is like hilarious. That's it.
And she better. You guys are literally married. Actually, Robert doesn't listen.
My sister sometimes and my mom, like randomly, I'll just like hear my own voice and I'll be like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh yeah, I'm listening to you. I'm
That's
like,
hilarious.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Or I hear your laugh and then I'm like, oh, they're listening.
You're like,
to
Michelle's here.
Yeah.
I'm haunting you.
I'm like, Michelle?
I do have a very loud laugh sometimes.
I mean, we both do.
That's fair. We both certainly do. I think the only people I know are Leah listens. I don't know if she listens to every episode, but my mom listens and my friend Sammy listens. But I think my mom and Sammy are a bit behind. Shout out, I think I already shouted them out before, Ims Be Killing You from Twitch, because she said she might listen before, and she told me the other day that she like listened to like 3 of our episodes randomly. Nice. And she just chose like random ones, and I was like, hey.
That's cool.
So Ims, if you get to this point, thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. I appreciate it.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I actually was talking to someone at work about it. Because we were talking about
The Office. Oh, so the person you mentioned before that was listening to...
It was actually a different person. But I've been meaning to talk to her.
Yep.
But it was another person. We were just like in the back room talking about The Office and just like shows we like to watch. And then she was like saying how she like loves true crime. And I was like, oh, do you listen to podcasts?
Stop.
And then she was like, yeah, sometimes. So she's like, I really like love true crime though. And I was like, well, I have one. And she was like, what? She's like, you do a podcast? I was like, yeah. I was like, it's me and my friend. And then she's like, oh, what's it called? Like, what do you guys talk about? I was like, it's called Spooky Shit. And I was like,
we talk about spooky shit.
Yeah, I was like, we talk about like ghost stories, haunted places, true crime, like all of that. And she was like, what? That's cool. And then, yeah, and I was like, yeah, check us out.
So shout out person from Costco if you're listening.
Yes, we'll see.
And I'm always name dropping our podcast whenever I'm streaming. Anything true crime related, I'm like, oh, did you guys know I'm in a podcast?
Yes. But yeah, I think that's it. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, my main thing was that my laptop exploded. And like, I don't know if you could tell in the background because I did move my camera, but I have a fire hydrant. Or fire hydrant, no. I have a fire extinguisher sitting next to me. I just went and stole a fire hydrant, brought it inside my apartment.
I was like,
this will protect me, this fire hydrant.
Fire extinguisher?
It's a different thing, yes. That's what I meant.
Very different.
Yeah, I'm scared it's gonna like catch on fire or some shit. I was so afraid I lost my notes. I had to turn it on after the explosion to go and get my notes. It was scary. I was holding a blanket in front of me in case anything flew out, like another screw. I was like, so it won't get me.
Damn.
Anyway, that's probably a really bad safety measure. Probably should just not turn it on, but it was fine. Anyway, shall I start?
Yes.
So this week I'm going to be talking about Carl Tanzler, the body snatcher. If you don't know what a body snatcher is, it's a person who will go and snatch a body straight out of its grave. Similar to grave robbing, I guess, but we're saving grave robbing for another episode. So body snatchers it is.
Yeah, well, you learned the difference between
them. There is a little bit of a difference. Grave robbing is mostly to rob them of things in their grave, not necessarily the bodies. So body snatchers now, and then eventually we'll probably do like some crazy grave robbing heist story or some shit. But we could find some intense ones. So Carl Tanzler was born on February 8th, 1877 in Dresden, Germany. While he grew up in Germany, his family moved to Australia just before the start of World War I and did not return back to his home country till the war had ended. And weird fact, he was actually held in an internment camp during the war. But from his service, he was able to receive a pension and was considered to be well off. Tanzler, who sometimes called himself Count von Kossel, despite having no royal lineage, claimed that he had 9 university degrees, but the lie detector has determined that this is a lie. He was known to be an eccentric person who carried himself in a like a high sense of self-importance. And he would even like claim, like, show off his watches and be like, oh yeah, like the, I don't know how to pronounce this word, the Tsar of Russia like commissioned these watches. And I'm like, no, they didn't. You're just a weird liar. Anyway, though he eventually worked as a radiologist, his medical licenses and degrees were eventually found to be forged. But as many people know, at least he was considered to be well-read on the topics of medicine, radiology, and x-ray technologies. He got a job straight up as a radiologist because he read some books.
Wow.
actually nutty the things that people could get away with in the 1900s.
Seriously.
Oh my God. Around 1920, he married a woman named Doris Schaefer, and together the two had two children, Aisha and Clarissa Tanzler. But he abandoned his family in 1927 and moved to Key West, Florida, where he took on a job as a radiologist at a hospital. I totally forgot to write. He moved to Florida and then married this woman. My bad.
Okay.
He was already in Florida. He didn't straight up like ditch his family, move across the world, just across the state.
Okay, I see. I was going to be like, damn.
Like, holy shit, he really didn't want to be around them. On April 22nd, 1930, Carl met Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyas and became obsessed with her. At the time, he was 53, while Elena was nearly 21. Elena was a Cuban-American woman born to Francisco Hoyas, a cigar maker, and Aurora Milagro on July 31st, 1909 in Key West, Florida. She was the middle child between sisters Florinda, who went by Nana, and Celia. Elena had a normal childhood and teenage life in the 1920s. She was a devout Catholic who liked cooking for friends and family, watching movies, and dancing at a local social club. She was really looking forward to seeing what technological developments would occur in the 1930s. She was known to be a good singer, but was shy, and was noted for being very beautiful. So beautiful, in fact, that apparently tourists would literally stop her on the street to take pictures with her.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how you know you're hot. Someone's like, can I get a picture with you? And you know their cameras back then were like probably big as shit. So it's quite a compliment. In 1926, at the age of 16, Elena married Luis Mesa, who was just 1 year older than her. She soon became pregnant with the couple's first child, but miscarried, which led to her husband abandoning her to go move to Miami.
Wow.
Yeah. So lots of shitty husbands going on in this story, you could tell. So though the two were not together, they technically remained married for the rest of Elena's life. Mourning the loss of her unborn child and her marriage, Elena's misfortune was still not over, and she gradually began to develop a persistent and worsening cough. Her family initially assumed that this cough was due to the sadness of her miscarriage, but it only got worse with time. In the 1920s, a leading cause of death was tuberculosis, and factories like the one that Elena's father worked at were hotbeds for spreading the very deadly disease. Finally, on April 22nd, 1930, Elena's mother took her to the Marine Hospital in Key West for examination, and that is where she met the radiologist Carl Tanzler. Upon meeting, Carl immediately recognized Elena. So, you see, as a child, while traveling through Italy, Carl claimed that he was visited by a dead ancestor, a countess. Again, no royal lineage, don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And this countess revealed the face of his true love, which he described as an exotic, dark-haired woman who looked just like Elena. Mm. Exotic means not white in this situation, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that was a big term back in the day.
Exotic.
Latin women and like African, they were exotic.
I know, which is funny because he's the one from another country. Like, she was born in America, he's exotic, the German. He immediately became obsessed with Elena, and upon confirming that she did indeed have tuberculosis, he vowed to cure her of the disease. He attempted to treat her with various medicines and concoctions, some literally made with gold in them. He used x-rays, electrical equipment, and he'd like use that to shock her. Like, what? I don't know what kind of fucking treatment this is, but I don't think that shocks get rid of TB. especially not then. So these were not like actual medicine things that people were using. This is shit that he was just trying on her because he was so desperate to cure his true love. And most of these things that he would do it like in her home with her family's permission. Reportedly, he also kept a wingless airplane on the hospital grounds that he called Countess Elena and claimed that he would someday use it to fly the pair away together. He's creepy.
Okay.
Yeah. As well as his extreme methods of trying to treat the sick young woman, at the same time, he also used just as extravagant means to try and woo her. He would shower her with gifts of expensive jewelry and clothing and frequently profess his love for her by proposing marriage. He was in his 50s and she was 21. There is absolutely no proof that Elena felt the same way about him, and it is widely believed that she did not reciprocate these feelings, as she would always turn down each one of his proposals because of their age difference and because she was legally still married. Her sister Nana later spoke about this and said, Elena never loved him. She was only nice to him because my mother told her you should be kind to those who were kind to her. She looked upon von Kausel as a grandfather. And when he proposed marriage, she always told him, you're too old. Why, you're old enough to be my grandfather. What's more, I do not love you. I love Elena. I fucking love this shit. She also said that he became so persistent that the family had to ask him to stay away from their house.
Sheesh.
I know. Stop. Just some creepy old man, dude.
Yeah.
So while her family was initially accepting in Tansler's offer to Carolina, as they didn't have much money and he said he'd do it for free, they soon began to change their mind, obviously, due to his uncomfortable proposals of marriage and because they disliked the use of his not very traditional medicine, his devil machines, as it was called in one article. I'm assuming that they've been shocking her. Which, I mean, fair. I don't think that that's a... Does that actually work for anything? Do we know? Like... Does that cure anything? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Tansler was instructed by Elena's family to stay away from her, but this did not deter him. They even moved houses, but unfortunately, a neighbor felt bad for Tansler and eventually told him where they now lived. Eventually, the family gave up and allowed him to see Elena once again, as at this point, she was considered to be fatally ill. He later recalled that, if anyone had tried to stop me from entering, I think I would have used violence. Oh my god, he's weird.
Psycho.
Literally. While Tansler's presence was tolerated once again, there was still tension between him and the family, and reportedly between him and Elena as well. So, according to one article I read, during two separate incidents, Elena had pretty much been dead, but was brought back by Tansler via electric shock. So that's one thing electric shock could do, actually. Bring you back. According to her cousin, Elena finally died hating her rescuer and begged to be allowed to stay dead. She forbade the family to let von Kausel know until she was too far across the border to be recalled. So basically, she's like, let me be dead for like half an hour and then you can tell him I'm dead.
Damn.
What a fucking gnarly thing after request. And she's so young too. Like, I hate that she had to be put through this. Despite all the efforts put in by Tansler, Elena unfortunately passed away from TB at her parents' home on October 25th, 1931, at the age of 22. Tansler later recalled that he was furious that he had not been informed of her death sooner, as he could have possibly been able to resurrect her. The one thing that she specifically did not want him to do. He ended up signing her death certificate with death from a series of violent seizures clinically associated with dormant epilepsy, which I thought was kind of weird because where did the seizures come from? I mean, maybe that's a TB thing, but I feel like I've never heard of those together.
I mean, I wouldn't know, but yeah. That sounds weird.
Also, he wasn't even there. I don't know why he was the one who signed it. He probably insisted, actually. Mm-hmm. With her family's permission, Elena's funeral was paid for by Tansler. He was even able to convince them to let him rent out Elena's room for $20 a month, which is now equal to about $330. I'm assuming he was very convincing, or it could just be because, like, they were grieving. They probably didn't have a lot of money, and they were like, sure. I mean, I'd take $330 a month, too, to let some weirdo live in a room. Along with the funeral, he was granted permission to construct an above-ground mausoleum in the Key West Cemetery to inter Elena. According to one article I read on History Hub, despite Elena legally being married at the time of her death, Tansler did not have her married name engraved on her gravestone, but he did have Count D. Kozel engraved, which stood for Countess Damsel Kozel. This is literally just a made-up title, which he made to tie the two of them together. And that just felt fucked up. Like, he's... It felt like he was, like, stealing her name almost, you know? Mm-hmm. That made me actually really sad to read. Tanzer would visit Elena's grave nearly every single night, as he was the only one who had a key to the mausoleum, and he would bring gifts to her. He allegedly even installed a telephone line into the crypt so he could continue speaking to her when he wasn't there.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yeah. And he's the only one who had a key to it too. How weird is that?
Yeah, not
her family. Her family would have to like ask permission and be like, hey, can you please open it? Like, that's fucking weird. Tanzer claims that Elena's spirit would often visit him while he was at her grave. He said that she would serenade her own corpse with her favorite Spanish song and tell Tanzer to take her away from her grave. So he did. One night in April of 1933, Tanzer snuck into the mausoleum where Elena was interred, put her remains into a toy wagon, and carted her off back to his home. Like a toy red wagon.
No, stop. A radio flyer.
Stop. That's exactly. That probably was what it was. Oh my god, I can't deal with this dude. He's so creepy. And no one was like, what's this old guy doing with his wagon walking back from the cemetery?
Right? He probably did it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, definitely. Just a little warning, this next part's kind of disturbing. So, of course, by now, Elena had been dead for nearly 2 years, and her body was not in prime condition. So, to fix her, Tanzer used piano wire to reattach her bones back to each other, fitted her face with glass eyeballs, and stuffed her stomach and chest with rags to keep her original form. As her skin was decomposing, he replaced it with silk cloth that had been coated in wax and plaster. For her hair, he created a wig out of it, out of actually her own hair, that he had somehow convinced Elena's mom to give to him.
What?
Yeah. So I think that like her hair got cut after she died, and he secured the bag of hair, literally. What do you even say to the mom to be like, oh, I really need that hair to mourn her properly? I wonder if that means he was like planning this. I don't know. He dressed Elena's desecrated remains in stockings, jewelry, and gloves and kept it in his bed. In order to cover the smell of and slow down the decomposition, he used large amounts of perfume, disinfectants, and preserving agents. I am going to show you a picture of Elena's body.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if I should put this on Instagram or not. But,
oh, damn.
Yes. It looks like a creepy doll. He drew eyebrows on her.
Yeah.
It's so weird. She looks like a doll. It looks like a mannequin.
She looks like a paper mache doll.
She does. There's a body under that. And that's her actual hair. Creepy. It's so creepy. That's slept in his bed. So I'm gonna read you a little excerpt from Tanzer's autobiography that shows like how fucking weird and creepy his daily life with Elena's body was. So here we go. On Christmas Eve, I lit the candles on the tree. There were just 13 of them, and placing her crucifix nearby, I told her, Elena, it is Christmas. Then, taking my seat at the organ, I played Silent Night until the lights on the tree were burned down. Going to her bed and seating myself beside her, I lifted her veil and kissed her on the lips. Elena, darling, we are all alone in this world, you and I and our God, but we are happy and contented. Let us stay together forever. There was a small bottle of Rhine wine on the table, another Christmas gift. I opened the bottle, filled one glass, raising it with a prayer to our God for his blessing. I drank half of it and drew the other half into my mouth. Lifting her veil again, I pressed my lips firmly against hers, which were just a little open. Thus slowly, I forced the wine into her mouth until I felt by the passage of air that had entered her stomach safely. The air from my lungs entered hers and caused her bosom to rise. I released my lips and she breathed the air out again, but retained all of the wine. Not a single drop spilled on her bridal array. Side note, he seemingly dressed her up like in a bridal nightgown, is the vibe I was getting, in a veil. Yeah. I used this method of feeding her at different times with certain solutions when I wanted to be sure they went home where I wanted them to. Of course, there was no risk of infection whatever, as Elena's body was now aseptic. Her nostrils were sealed with cotton, but her ears were now open. While seated close to her, I noticed what seemed like a faint breathing movement of her breast. And by looking closer, I found just a few drops of fresh blood running out of the corner of both eyes and both ears. I had to get some cotton to wipe it off and deposit it on a couple of microscopic slides. No further discharge was visible. I got my stethoscope to listen to her chest for a while. There was no regular heartbeat, but there was a sound of flowing liquid in the vessels. Then a pause, then a sound of flowing again with some kind of irregular flutter in between. Her body was still warm to the touch since the incubation, but she had already lost considerable of her blood temperature. It was only natural that she was gradually cooling out again. To slow this down as much as possible, I covered her over completely with the blue silk quilt, at least for the duration of the cool weather. During the night, I meditated for hours about this fresh red blood. What did it mean? Why would she emit blood without any blood pressure in her system? I decided to make a further investigation, and the next day, I found that a scant menstrual blood discharge had taken place. Also, fresh red blood had leaked from the saphenous veins on her legs, which had to be cemented with silken patches. It was all important now to keep her safe by retaining all the liquids in her body. So, he seemed to think that she was going to come back to life. And that's why he was like listening to her heartbeat, talking about blood. I don't think that there was blood. I was extra disturbed by him saying he examined her and found menstrual blood. So that means he was like looking at her vagina. I don't think that there was blood. I don't think that there was blood, fresh blood coming out of her 3 years after she was dead. But he was like actually genuinely convinced that he was going to bring her back. I think.
Oh, God.
I think he may have been like, I don't know. I read some parts of it. I didn't read his whole autobiography because it's like, it was a lot, first of all, and because it's just weird reading it from his point of view. He's like, he thought she was going to come back.
It's weird as it is.
It's weird enough as it is, and it's weird to have him be like, ah, Lena, my love, my bride. And I'm like, oh, please stop, sir. It's so creepy. Yeah. He would also talk about how, oh my gosh, once he must have been having a dream, but he is convinced it wasn't a dream. Elena woke up and rolled over and was like talking to him, and he was telling her not to come up, and he was going to go get her broth. And when he came back, she wasn't moving anymore. Like, she seemed like she was dead again. And he was like, oh, maybe I was dreaming. But no, her body's on the side, like how she was whenever I left. And I was like, I don't think she actually came back. I think that you probably moved her in a weird mental state that you were in. And he straight thought that she would come back sometimes and that she would like talk to him. It was mega weird. During this period of time, while he was living with Elena's body, Tansler's child, Clarista, died of diphtheria. And as far as I could tell, he was just like, that's fine, still living with my bride. I saw a lot of things calling her a literal corpse bride or real life corpse bride. And I was like, oh my God,
stop it.
I know. In 1940, 9 years after Elena was buried, news broke that someone had attempted to break into her grave. While her mausoleum and first casket had been opened, the coffin that should have been holding her body was still closed. Elena's sister Nana heard of this, and she also heard rumors that Tansler had hold of her remains and was worried, insisting to him that she wanted to see her sister and know that she was still in her coffin. By Tansler's own account, he agreed to this and drove Nana and her husband to his house to show them Elena's preserved remains that he had been keeping to himself. At first, not believing that this could be her sister, Nana then began to insist that Elena's remains once again be put back in her grave, but Tansler said no. He quoted in his autobiography, "Elena and I will go back into the vault when our time is up, but not right now. I don't see why you should worry about her now. You never looked after her for the past 9 years. She's been under my care all these years. I have paid for all her expenses, not you. I own that tomb and everything that's inside, not you." So, jeez. A lot of things bug me about this. First of all, he's saying I own all the things in there, referring to her fucking dead body. Like, that's the most objectifying sentence ever. You just said that her body's just a thing that you own. Like, ugh, creepy. And that he's saying he paid for it all when he offered to pay for it all. You cannot offer to pay for something to be nice and then hold it over people's heads.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. And he's like, you didn't take care of her these past 9 years. And I'm like, you mean the past 9 years when she was dead? No one thought they had to take care of her. What are you talking about? It makes no fucking sense. Following this confrontation, Nana reported Tansler's crime to the police, who arrived on the 5th of October. Upon seeing Elena's body, they asked who she was, and Tansler told them, she is my bride, Elena Hoyos. Also, side note, I'm not exactly sure how these rumors about Tansler having Elena's body started. They could have been because he was seen buying women's clothing and perfume, or because on at least one occasion he was caught dancing with her body in front of his window.
Oh, God.
Yep. Either or, you know, who knows?
Or both.
Can you imagine walking by and seeing that? I'd be like, oh, fuck, no, I'm moving. Tansler was unable to show any proof that the body was allowed to be in his possession. Duh, I don't even know what proof you could show. So he was arrested and detained on the charges of wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization. He was examined by a psychiatrist and actually found to be mentally competent enough to stand trial for his charges. A preliminary hearing was held on October 9, 1940, and Tansler was held to answer on the charge, but ultimately the case was dropped because the statute of limitations for the crime had run out. Tansler asked if her body could be returned to him, but the court and her family said no. The audacity to be like, but can I have her back? Like, what?
This man,
dude.
Is something else.
Yep. This next paragraph is also going to be disturbing. During the examination of Elena's body, there may or may not have been evidence of necrophilia. Yeah. It's not confirmed, but apparently this wasn't reported at the time, but two doctors who had attended the examination claimed that Tansler had inserted a vaginal tube inside of Elena's vaginal area so that he could have sex with her corpse. And, you know, like I said, not confirmed. And based on what I've read, the doctors, like, didn't even mention this until 30 years later, which is kind of weird. But also, it was, like, literally 1940 at the time. So it's speculated that it was kept a secret due to, like, the scandal it would cause and to keep things dignified for Elena's surviving family members.
Damn. I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's talking about how it's his bride and stuff. Like,
I feel like he totally did.
Yeah. I mean, he was kissing her, talking about kissing her mouth and stuff. I don't see why he wouldn't take it that far.
Yeah.
And he was checking her and saw menstrual blood.
Exactly.
That's like the main reason I included that quote, because I was like, no fucking way. Ugh. In a weird turn of events, the public was super interested in this case. So after her body was examined, it was then put on public display at a funeral home where it was viewed by several thousand people. There's pictures of kids smiling in front of her corpse.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They're just smiling like it's a field trip. And I'm like, this is a dead woman who was just like mummified by a creep for 7 years. What the fuck is this shit? And get this, after the story was reported on and became like sensational news, the general consensus was in Tansler's favor.
No.
Yep. People thought he was just an eccentric romantic who deserved their sympathy. He was like an obsessed old man. Like, what? Like, what the fuck?
Pedophile.
Yeah. Anyway, after being taken off display, Elena's remains were finally returned to the Key West Cemetery. This time, they're put in an unmarked grave in a secret location to prevent anyone else from further desecrating her body. Following the reburial of the object of his obsession, Tansler used a death mask that he had previously made to create a life-size doll of Elena that he lived with for the rest of his life.
Jeez.
So, a death mask, if you don't know, because I didn't know that this was a thing, it's basically, like, after someone dies, you can, like, put plaster to make a cast of their face. It actually looked like it was well done. I saw a picture of him holding it next to his face, like he was looking at her. Yeah. So he had an imprint of her face that he created it like a life-size effigy around. In 1944, Tansler moved to Pasco County, Florida, where he lived nearby his wife, reminder, he had a wife, who helped take care of him in his later life. He was buried throughout all of this, bro. Like, nutty.
Cheater.
I know. In 1947, he wrote an autobiography for the magazine Fantastic Adventures about his experience stealing and living with Elena's body. Which, those are the ones I was quoting earlier. And in 1950, he was granted U.S. citizenship.
Why?
I don't know. That wasn't enough to stop him. Finally, on July 3rd, 1952, Tansler died at the age of 75 in his home where he lived with Elena's effigy. And maybe more. So there's some unconfirmed rumors that he had Elena's body switched with someone else, or that someone official who felt bad for him gave her body back to him, and that he actually had her real body when he died.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But regardless of if it was real or not, I read on multiple sources that he may or may not have been found 3 weeks after he died in Elena's arms. Yeah, 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 yeah. But this is not actually where the rumors end. There is another that Tansler had possibly killed Elena himself.
What?
So,
it kind of makes sense to, like, finally get her.
Yeah, exactly. So an article written in 1982 claims that during a renovation of Tansler's home, two workers found a note that he'd written confessing to her murder that read, "She died because I gave this to her mercifully. I mixed the root of wolfsbane with aconite diluted. It was palatable, and my loved one departed this miserable world on October 25th, 1931. Suffer no more, sweet Elena. I have sent you to the angels with my golden elixir." Another person also claimed that Tansler had told them, "I have spent my whole life. I've roamed the earth searching for Elena. 50 years ago, she appeared to me in a vision, and she promised then to be my bride. Now I found her, and I'll kill her if necessary to fulfill my destiny."
God.
Yep. Elena's sister, Nana, even claimed that Tansler had once told their father that if there wasn't a wedding soon, there would be a funeral.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm torn about if I think he did, because he seems like crazy enough to do it. But then they also talked about how he kept like resurrecting her before. But I mean, it does seem like she was getting more and more resentful every time. Yeah. He could have been like, "This illness is making her mad at me, my beautiful bride."
Damn.
Yeah. And he could have just been like pretending to be infuriated whenever she actually died the last time. Because this is why I specifically included the part about her having seizures. Because according to like one person, like, not for sure know this, I don't know what happens when you're poisoned, but they were saying that like mixing those poisons together would potentially cause like violent seizures, which is how he wrote down that she died. So yeah, who the fuck knows? This guy's a creep. Unfortunately, a lot of Elena's immediate family died not too long after her. So her father died in 1934, followed literally just weeks later by her sister Celia. And they both died before knowing that Elena's remains had been stolen. Her mother died in 1940, and even Nana herself, who was such like an advocate for getting Elena's body like back into its grave, passed away in either 1944 or 1946, also from tuberculosis.
Damn.
Yeah, other members also might have died of tuberculosis, but I wasn't able to confirm it. I just know that fucking everyone was getting TB back then.
Yeah.
It was a shit show. But yeah, that is the story of Carl Tansler. And more importantly, that is the story of Elena Milagro de Hoyos.
Wow.
Probably mispronouncing her name. Killed it. I looked it up, but, you know, my accent's not good.
A little L.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear your story now. I'm sure it's gonna be just as fun.
Very fun.
These people are nasty, dude.
All right, now I'm gonna talk about this sick fuck.
Yeah. Anatoly Moskvin. We're both Russian now.
Anatoly Yurievich Moskvin.
Sure.
Anyways. He was born on September 1st, 1966 in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia.
I love it there. I actually have a summer home there.
Shut up. it's actually the fifth largest city in Russia.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Not that I know any cities besides Moscow.
Moscow! Yeah. We are not the most well-traveled.
Yeah. But yeah, this dude was weird. He actually, he says that he began wandering through cemeteries with friends when he was still a schoolboy. He specifically visited the Krasnoyarsk Edna Cemetery, which is...
I feel like that was good.
Thank you. I'm really trying here.
That's really good.
Any Russians are probably like, no.
They're like, that was awful.
Yeah, they're probably like, no, you're way off.
Sound good to me.
But yeah, the cemetery is located in the Luinsky district of Nihisi Novgorod. Novgorod.
You're making it longer and longer. You're like,
I'm sorry. Apologize to any Russian listeners.
I do love that you're making sure to say the name of everything. You're doing this to yourself.
I'm trying, though. I am trying to be correct, you know?
Yeah.
I can't.
I know.
Or should I just say cemetery and leave out the name?
It's up to you. We do need to take on more international stories, so this is probably good.
True. But yeah. Anatoly graduated from the philological faculty of Moscow State University and became well known in academic circles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was actually very smart.
Yeah.
His main areas of academic interests were Celtic history and folklore, as well as languages and linguistics.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and he actually worked at the Institute of Foreign Languages.
Oh.
For, like, a amount of time, and then he became a lecturer in Celtic studies at his city name, Linguistic University.
He was, like, smart, though.
Yeah, he was really smart. He was a philologist, a linguist, and a polyglot, which is basically someone who's speaks multiple languages.
You can see my face because yeah. I learned what that word meant from Robert, and I'm jealous. I wish I could do that.
He spoke 13 languages.
Stop! That's fucking sick. Why did he have to be creepy?
Right.
This guy just been a flex, dude. You guys started YouTube
for real. But he was very smart, and he had actually written several books, papers, translations, and all of which were like really well known in like academic circles.
Yeah.
He actually kept a personal library of over 6,000. No, not 6,000. 60,000 books and documents.
Oh, it's more. Yeah. I thought you were going to say less.
No. I was like, hold up. There's another zero. 60,000.
Holy shit.
That's a lot.
That's a few.
I have like six.
Stop.
And they're in a box downstairs in the garage.
Some library.
He also had a large doll collection. He also occasionally worked as a journalist and regularly contributed to a local newspapers and publications.
He was like a very active member of his community then.
Yeah, but he was weird.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is the topic of the week. And he collects dolls.
He had a dark side. So, he also had a deep interest in cemeteries, burial ritual, death, and the occult.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
What a fun combo.
He even went as far as to describing himself as a necropolist. Polist?
What is that supposed to mean?
Like, dead body, dead...
No. Like the polist part.
Polist, like, I forgot the definition, but it's basically like an expert on dead things, people.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be like, he thought he could talk to dead people.
Yeah, no, that too.
No!
Yes, like he was an expert with like dead people, basically.
What the fuck?
So he saw dead people.
Yeah, literally. He actually did.
He actually saw them and heard them and everything.
What the fuck?
But I guess he was considered an expert on local cemeteries.
spend enough time with them, I'm sure.
Yeah. fellow academics described him as both genius and eccentric.
Mine was eccentric, yeah, too.
But yeah, as an adult, he led a very secluded life. He never married or dated and preferred to live with his parents.
Nerd alert.
Yeah.
Just kidding. That's fine if you do that, but this guy's a creep, so I can bully him.
True. But yeah, I guess he abstained from drinking alcohol and smoking and was supposedly a virgin.
Well, he did not get out much.
Mm-mm. Well, he did, but... Not with living people.
Stop. What is that? Ew.
So in 2005, Oleg Ryabov, a fellow academic and publisher, commissioned Anatoly to summarize and list the dead in more than 700 cemeteries in 40 regions of the Nizhny Novgorod Oblast.
What a fucking task, yeah, to be assigned. Holy, right? Shit.
That's a lot.
I mean, he was probably hype. He was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, he was. So he says that between 2005 and 2007, he had gone on foot to inspect 752 cemeteries across the region, walking up to 18.6 miles a day.
They didn't have cars that he could use.
I guess.
Can't, oh, okay, never mind. Actually, he went from graveyard to graveyard, yeah, but he can't drive through the grave.
Exactly.
That was a dumb question. My bad.
It was weird though. Well, because they says during these travels, he drank from puddles, spent nights in haystacks at abandoned farms, or slept in the cemeteries themselves.
Okay, so it is weird.
It is very weird.
I was imagining that it was like a business trip and he like got to stay in like motels or something and they were like, yeah, we'll pay you back for food. And he's like, I slept in a haystack and drank puddles.
Yeah, that's super weird.
This wasn't like the 1800s. This was like 15 years ago.
Yeah. unless he's like talking about like back then. I like wasn't sure.
No, he sounds like a weirdo. He probably just did this for fun.
Yeah. So he slept in cemeteries themselves. He even went as far as to spend the night in a coffin, being prepared for a funeral.
What?
I guess he wanted to feel those vampire vibes.
Stop. Your boy was straight obsessed with death. Oh my lord.
Yes, he was. He really was.
Slept in a coffin. He probably wanted it to be like, what's it like?
Right. But yeah, on his extensive travels, he was actually questioned many times by police on the suspicion of vandalism and theft. But he was never arrested or detained after stating his academic credentials and purpose.
He's like, I'm smart. I can't do anything bad.
He's like, oh no, I'm a researcher or some shit.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you're fine. You wouldn't commit a crime.
It's a little sus, but okay.
Yeah.
The work itself remains unpublished, but has been described as unique and priceless by Alexei Yesin, the editor of Necrologies, a weekly paper to which Anatoly was a regular contributor. Why is there even a fucking...
I was wondering the same thing. I mean, some people, it's probably their job, but it wasn't his job, really.
He took it a little too serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, after Anatoly's arrest, Alexei stated that he was confident there had been a mistake and Anatoly would soon be exonerated. Later, Alexei told the Associated Press that Anatoly was a loner who had certain quirks, but who gave no indication that he was up to anything unusual.
Okay, sure.
Your face. So between 2006 and 2010, Anatoly worked as a freelance correspondent for the newspaper Nizhny Novgorod Worker, and he would publish articles twice a month. I guess his father also sometimes wrote for the paper, which I thought was like, oh, runs in the family.
Like father, like son.
Yeah. So
was his dad also obsessed with death?
Not that I know of. During 2008, Anatoly wrote an extensive series of articles on the history of his city, cemeteries, and that appeared in the paper.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Yes.
So, Anatoly was arrested on November 2nd, 2011, by police investigating a series of grave desecrations and cemeteries in and around his city.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah. So, investigators from the Center of Combating Extremism discovered the 26 bodies initially reported as 29 in Anatoly's flat and garage.
Stop.
Yep.
Ew.
I guess I should mention now that they were children.
Oh.
Girls. As young as 3 and as old as 12.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah.
He lived with his parents?
Yeah.
They didn't care?
I'll get there.
They really respected his privacy.
So they actually have videos of it, and it basically shows the bodies seated on shelves and sofas in small rooms full of books, papers, and general clutter.
What?
Yep. So although only 26 bodies were discovered in his home, Anatoly was suspected of desecrating as many as 150 graves after police found numerous grave accoutrements, such as metal nameplates removed from headstones.
Ew. Yeah. He's like taking trophies.
Basically. And police also discovered instructions for making the, quote, dolls.
No.
Yeah. No. Maps. Maps of the cemeteries in the region, and a collection of photographs and videos depicting open graves and disinterred bodies.
I don't even know what to ask. I have so many questions. Why? Is number one?
You'll
get there?
Maybe. Yeah, not really. So yeah, all that evidence that they found, although none of it could be conclusively connected to any of the bodies found in the apartment. So, according to the investigation, the bodies primarily came from cemeteries in his city, though some may have come as far as Moscow.
Oh, damn.
So, Anatoly actively cooperated with investigators and claimed that he made the dolls over the course of 10 years.
He was arrested in 2011?
Mm-hmm.
So even before this trip to the cemeteries, he was already doing this?
Yeah.
So that was just like a happy coincidence for him.
Yeah, the early 2000s.
What the fuck?
His parents, who were, I guess, away for large portions of the year. Not sure why.
They better have been to not notice what was going on with their son.
Yeah, they were actually like unaware of his activities, and they actually thought the bodies were dolls.
So they saw them and just thought they were dolls?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, because he did have, like, a big doll collection.
He had real dolls, too.
Yeah, he did.
A mix.
Yeah. So, Anatoly was charged under Article 22244 of the Criminal Code for the desecration of graves and dead bodies. A charge which carried up to 5 years in prison, which I think is, like, nothing.
That's not much.
Yeah.
I mean, unless we're talking like per body, because if he did this to over 100, 5 years doesn't seem like enough.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Unless it's by body, then that's, what, 26 times that... 5?
A bit.
Yeah, that's a bit. Originally, he was also accused of having defaced the graves of Muslims, which is actually considered a hate crime.
So he was Islamophobic randomly too?
Well, I mean, the charge was later dropped, but...
Okay.
Yeah, it was just, like, originally in the beginning, initially.
I'm like, how are you gonna be prejudiced against anyone when you're doing this weird shit?
Right? But yeah, after a psychiatric evaluation, it was determined that Anatoly suffered from a form of paranoid schizophrenia. And in a hearing on May 25th, 2012, the Legnitsky District Court of his city deemed Anatoly unfit to stand trial.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they releasing him of criminal liability.
I thought you were going to be like, okay.
Hold on. He was instead sentenced to coercive medical measures.
There we go. I was so concerned. I was like, wait, he was just released?
No. But yeah, the prosecution, I guess, was satisfied with that decision, and they did not appeal or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was taken to a psychiatric clinic with his stay to be reviewed regularly. And basically, his treatment got renewed a bunch of times. Like, anytime they were like, okay, is he clear now? They'd be like, nope, still not.
Nope.
In 2014, a spokesman stated, after 3 years of monitoring him in a psychiatric clinic, it is absolutely clear that Anatoly is not mentally fit for trial. He will therefore be kept for psychiatric treatment at the clinic.
Oh my gosh.
And then I guess in 2018, his doctors said that he was like no longer dangerous and actually petitioned for him to like be released.
Okay.
But in 2019, he basically had another evaluation when they were like, nope, too early.
We changed our minds.
Yeah.
He was just having a good day whenever they decided he could go.
As for why, this might give you a little insight, I guess.
Yes, please give me insight, because I don't understand.
So, in an article written shortly before his arrest, Anatoly attributed his interest in the dead to a childhood incident during which he witnessed at a funeral procession for an 11-year-old girl. He alleged that the participants forced him to kiss the dead girl's face, writing that,
ew,
an adult pushed my face down to the waxy forehead of a girl in an embroidered cap, and there was nothing I could do but to kiss her as ordered.
That's weird. They probably meant it more in like a saying goodbye to her way, but clearly this one action really influenced his life.
Yeah, that's wild. But yeah, in an interview after his arrest, Anatoly stated he felt great sympathy for the dead children and thought they could be brought back to life by either science or black magic.
Oh, yikes. We have another Frankenstein situation like Tansler here.
Yep.
Yikes.
As an expert on Celtic culture, he learned that the ancient druids slept on graves in order to communicate with the spirits of their dead. He also studied the culture of peoples of Siberia, in particular the ancient Yakuts, and discovered that they had a similar practice for communicating with the dead. Anatoly began searching for obituaries of recently deceased children. When he found an obituary that, quote, spoke to him, he would sleep on the child's grave in order to determine if the spirit would be brought back to life.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He claimed that he had been doing this for around 20 years and insisted that when he began, he never dug up a grave without the permission of the child within.
Well, that doesn't mean much.
Right?
I thought you were going to say, like, the family.
No. And I guess as he grew older, it became physically painful for him to sleep on the grave, so he began bringing the bodies home where it would be more comfortable to sleep near them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he said he hoped the spirits would be more willing to speak in a safe, welcoming home, and that it might be easier to hear if when they are no longer underground.
Ew.
Yeah. So
sleepover.
Ew, stop. After exhuming the corpses, Anatoly researched mummification theories and techniques in an attempt to preserve the bodies. He dried the corpses using a combination of salt and baking soda and then cached the bodies in the secure, dry places in and around the cemeteries. Once the bodies dried, he carried them to his home where he used various methods to make dolls.
Wait, I want to make sure I understood. He would set up these bodies to be dried out and he would just hide them in cemeteries?
Mm-hmm. Like,
can you imagine going to like visit the grave of a loved one and just seeing a mummified little girl sitting there? Oh, that's scary. Ew, I'd be so fucking scared. Holy shit.
I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
Yeah. All right, tell me about the dolls.
So he would make these dolls in an attempt to give the children functional bodies to be used when he eventually discovered a way to bring them back to life.
Oof.
Feeling that their physical remains were too decayed and ugly for them to feel comfortable or happy. So that's another reason why he was like making them look prettier, I guess.
Ew.
Unable to prevent the bodies from withering and shrinking as they dried, he would wrap the limbs in strips of cloth and stuff the body cavity with rags. It's kind of the same thing.
Sounds familiar. Yeah.
It's like kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he would sometimes add wax masks decorated with nail polish over the faces before dressing them in brightly colored children's clothes and wigs.
Oh my god.
These details made the bodies appear to be large handmade dolls. Which
Yikes.
Basically prevented their discovery.
Yeah.
And it was actually unclear if each doll contained a full set of human remains.
How's that unclear? Can't they search them?
I guess. I don't know.
Maybe they didn't want to mess with them anymore? Like disturb the one? Yeah, I have no maybe. Idea.
Yeah. He basically was aware that he was committing a crime, but he felt that the dead children were, quote, calling out to be rescued and believed that rescuing the children was more important than obeying the law.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He says that he was also motivated by his own desire to have children, specifically a daughter. He says he often regretted that he never had children and at one point attempted to adopt a young girl against the parents, his parents' wishes. But his
I was going to say their parents' wishes. No. I was like, oh, kidnap?
When I first read it, I did think that, but no, it was his parents. But his application was denied due to his low income.
Oh.
And he denies any sexual attraction to the dolls. He says he considered them to be his children.
Oh, that is creepy.
Yeah. He says he spoke to them and interacted with them, sang songs to them, watched cartoons with them, and even held birthday parties and celebrated holidays with them.
This is actually kind of depressing.
Right?
I don't want to feel bad for him because he stole their bodies, but he actually sounds like extremely mentally ill. What?
I mean, he was unfit.
And yeah, he actually was confirmed. My guy was confirmed creep. Your guys is like... What?
True.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And also, you know, I read in an article that just came out last year in November. Mm-hmm. I guess one of the parents of one of the girls, I think a 10-year-old,
mm-hmm.
she was basically, like, pushing for him to apologize for, like, desecrating the body or, like,
yeah.
the grave and, like, taking her body and stuff. Mm-hmm. And... basically, he was like, nah. He straight up was like, nah, like, those were my girls. yeah.
That's fucked up.
He was like, those were my girls. Like, I didn't even, like, think about the parents. Like, after, basically, his argument was, like, after you, like, buried her, that it was, like, free game.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. All sympathy for him gone. He's just creepy.
He is creepy.
Ew.
But yeah, that's the story of Anatoly Moskvin. Definitely creepy.
Yeah, no. I don't know if we should upload pictures of these things on Instagram or not.
Maybe just pictures of them, not the bodies.
Of the guys.
Yeah.
Not the bodies,
of
yeah.
The creepers. Of the bodies.
Yeah. Creepers. I would very much encourage you all, if you're curious, to look it up. I think that would be kind of disturbing for you to just stumble upon on Instagram. So I'll not post pictures. I've also realized that I kind of unnecessarily post every single day, even when I don't know, need to, and they're very repetitive. So now I might be slowing it down to just a few days a week. I realized that this week because I was going to go do more advertisement for like our Christmas stories. And I was like, am I really going to put 7 pictures of creepy Santas in a row? And I was like, maybe I'll just do 2. Realize it's not the most necessary thing.
Oh, I forgot. On my way home, I was like, oh my god, I gotta remember to say our saying, and then I forgot.
Let's get spooky, little shits.
Yeah,
is that it?
Yeah.
Bro, we haven't said that in like a month.
I know, I keep forgetting.
We're really bad at this.
That's why I was thinking about it. I was like, don't forget, like, we gotta start saying it, and then I forgot.
We shouldn't have even mentioned it because we cursed ourselves to never remember it again.
I'm going to start writing in the beginning of my notes.
You should. Do that. And then next week, hopefully, we could. We just have to do, like, I feel like if we do, like, 3 times in a row, then it'll be, like, we're used to it. We can keep it going. Yeah.
Very true.
But, yeah, do you have anything else to add?
No, just hope you have a good, happy new year.
Yeah, have safe fun. And fun New Year's. Yeah,
be safe. Enjoy.
And welcome 2022.
Yeah, see you next year.
May it be better. If any of you guys want to follow us on Instagram or Twitter, it is spookyshit_pod. Our website is spookyshit-pod.com. You can also email us any stories that you personally have. You know, any body snatchers, definitely tell us. But more like if you have a ghost story, you can email us at thespookyshit.pod@gmail.com. We also take episode requests because sometimes we do not know what to talk about. The body snatching thing was kind of Robert's idea. So shout out to Robert for that.
Yeah. It wasn't kind of my idea.
You said grave robbing.
It was only my idea.
It was only his idea. Okay.
My bad.
Damn. Shout out, Robert. Geez. I know. He said grave robbing. It was different. But yeah, thank you all for listening. And we will catch you next week in 2000. It's already going to be 2022 when this episode comes out. In the second week of 2022. All right. Bye. Bye. Testing.
You just type 14 in general.
Bruh.